Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Well, hoping the respite lasts because tomorrow and the rest of next week, wet.
Well, it's just, I mean, that's what it's been. I don't know exactly what the figures are, but just continual rain and it's not good for selling homes and trying to get things painted when we have those on inspection requests.
So. You know, I'll tell you, it's not enjoyable when you're out deer hunting and you are getting absolutely soaked all week long.
Tom, I was going to ask you. I know we're right in that hunting season. A lot of people have been gone and up and back, and I'm seeing the pictures on Facebook and online. How was the hunt?
You know, we saw a ton of does, a lot of moose, but the ever-elusive whitetail buck just didn't show itself for me.
So you truly were hunting and not shooting?
Yeah, hunting and not shooting. Okay. I'll go back up for the late hunt. But
they were wearing those fake rubber nose and glasses like in that TV commercial.
I'll tell you, the boot dryers were on 24/7.
Okay, got you. Yeah, no, it's... I mean, we've definitely seen some moisture up here and stuff, and my farming buddies have been, some of them complaining about trying to get some work done in the fields and stuff. I mean, for some, the moisture's good, but kind of hard to finish up some harvest and get things to dry out when it's this wet and get in the fields. So, and also, like I said, it does cause, you know, this is the time of year when we come into a little bit of the seasonal adjust, and people say, what's the market like? How's it going? The numbers have not changed dramatically. It's still looking at a lower inventory market. But do things slow down slightly? Sometimes they do. Just because, a couple examples. You know, we had an event this week that normally, you know, 25 people would have come to a broker's open type house. But you get a steady downpour of rain, man, Thursday afternoon. It was just coming down crazy. So you get a few less numbers. So you do start to see activity levels. It just naturally drops a little bit because of that seasonal adjust. One of the things I always like to go over before we jump into our topic today, and we're going to talk about preparing your house for the winter and a little bit about what to do during that season to help combat that seasonal adjustment. On the national front, though, just a little bit of housing information to report. New housing starts nationally did decline this month. Month over month. But once again, we talked about seasonal areas with that happening. Plus, we had a lot of major weather issues across the country this last month. So when you look at that, when you look at, you know, a hurricane, massive flooding in an area, hundreds of thousands of houses, it's a little hard to get increased housing starts when people are worried about their life, you know, pretty much. So, but still good numbers. Year to date, starts are still up nationally 3.7%. Single family starts are up 8.6%. And that's their best level since first quarter, actually, February of this year. Now, multifamily starts fell a lot in September. Those are down 38% in September. And they're just down 5.6% year to date. So permits are up, though, for the fifth time in 6 months, and they're at their highest level of the year. So still nationally, a lot of people pulling permits, getting ready to start some houses. A lot of builders like to start in the next month or two, get the house far enough along. There's a big rush usually to get foundations in before the ground freezes. Everything else you can kind of work around, but it's really difficult. So permits go in, a lot of starts happening right now so that those homes are ready for the spring market. If they're putting those foundations in now, getting those starts, what we're trying to see is a lot of inventory get ready for the spring market. And after the year we've had this year, we need it. We absolutely need it. Before we jump right into our prep topic, I do want to, I always enjoy this time of year because we get to bring you an amazing, crazy house story. And I'm ready for Halloween, Tom.
You got a haunted house there?
I do. I've got a haunted house here. This is called the Pillars Estate. It is kind of the Greek Revival architecture. This is up in Albion, New York, and it was originally purchased. It's a Civil War era estate. It had been turned in the 60s into apartments. Guy purchased it, just brought it back to life, restored it, kind of an original restoration. Reminds me a little bit of our local How the Moore Mansion kind of looks. However, there are some extra house guests in this house. Ugh. Apparently, piano that's been known to play itself. People have seen sightings of people laying on the beds in the bedrooms.
I just got chills when you said that.
One of the two owners will not even stay there by themselves. So this is called the Pillars Estate. It's a haunted mansion.
Now, hang on. The owner won't even stay there. He wants you to buy it.
He won't stay there by himself. But he wants to sell it for $1 million. So a very cool looking restoration. But I got to tell you, I'm going to make a gut call on that. And I think my life is just a little too short to worry about that. I'm not purchasing that, Tom.
No. Like, the haunted houses and that stuff all just creeps me out. And I think it's very real and very possible that there's haunted houses out there. And hearing that people have seen people laying in beds and pianos playing? No.
Yeah. Yep, we're out. So once again, sometimes we talk about marketing and how you can expand your market share. I think this is a very niche market. Yeah. Niche market. And this is, unfortunately, it's going to be difficult to expand your market share in that situation.
Now, so. Big Jim and Greg with Scaregrounds would probably be interested in that.
Yeah, yes, our organizers here of our Scaregrounds absolutely would enjoy that. Lance Kenmore, no. not so enjoyable. So it's always fun to kind of look at those, see the differences. People are starting to decorate for Halloween, and things get festive this time of year. So I always get a kick looking for those stories and pulling that one out. Back to some real life stuff that we have to deal with, and I really think the weather that hit us the last week and a half brings a lot of this stuff to light. And that is, what can I do? What should I be doing around the house to get ready for the winter? So there's a couple things that come up on that when we're looking at this situation. One, are you potentially going to be selling your house during those winter months? Are you looking at selling in November, December, January, and February? I mean, we're coming on 4 months where a lot of times what the weather will do is it really pushes you inside. We talked during the summer months how outdoor living space can make houses seem bigger, make you have more square footage. Coming up on this time of year, what we're dealing with is that's all gone and you're pushed back into the house. And sometimes if you're not ready for it, it can feel cramped and not quite ready to sell. The number one thing that people are looking at right now, the first thing that I put on the list, it's coming up on home inspection reports right now. We're seeing it a lot. And that is making sure your heating system is tuned up and in good shape. And this time of year, people are going to get busy. They're going to start. It's coming to that situation where you're like, I'm finally going to have to kick this over to heat. See what's going on there. A lot of times you're going to be sealed up in that house longer. So did you get the vents vacuumed out? A lot of people forget how much debris, pollen, dust gets trapped in those vents. And it's one of those things that's overlooked quite a bit in homes is having that ventilation system cleaned out. You got a filter in there, but you're recirculating that air and you're blowing that air around in that system. And those vents, eventually, dirt, dust will settle in there. It's not like, I don't know about you, I might not be the greatest house cleaner, but even when it comes up to, I normally don't take the vents off and like vacuum around inside of them. It's just not something I'm going to think about doing. We've had on the show before our friends over at BF PowerVac. They do a great job with that type of stuff. Now, I kind of lumped in to the same category, and what I saw it three times on inspection reports last week, and that is have your chimney inspected. Not something you think about, but we still have a lot of homes. A lot of people prefer those real wood fireplaces, and having your chimney inspected is an important part of that. Sometimes there can become a danger if there's cracks in the chimney that have developed. There can be a buildup inside of the ashes inside there. So it's a safety issue. And another thing that we see a lot happen is you get cracks near the top of the chimney and the top of the flue. So not only are we worried in those situations about the heat leaving, but about water coming back in. Another thing, too, that happens a lot of times is the sealant around the chimney is not properly sealed, or it cracks because we had, you know, extreme heat. We went from 110 degrees this summer. Now we're down to 30 degrees, and all of that has expanded. And then now in the cold weather, it's shrunk back up, and we're now allowing water in beside those situations. So literally saw that as when I saw that this week on three different inspection reports, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to lump that tip in with the heating system, something that you need to get taken care of for the winter. Tip number, we talk about this. Tip number two, and people don't always realize this, but it's the time of year where you need to reverse your ceiling fans. So most fans have a reverse switch. Most people don't even realize that. That changes the direction of the fan. Warm air rises. So when you run the fan at low speed in a clockwise direction, you'll produce a gentle updraft. So you go ahead and circulate the warm air near the ceiling and then down into the occupied space. So a lot of people don't even realize that those fans have a reverse feature on them.
Well, I think running that in reverse like that, you're probably going to have lower electric bills.
Well, and that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's keeping that in the living space. It's going to lower your bills. So that's a big one. That's huge. The other thing that we've seen a lot that is seasonal has to do with inspection reports and could save you a lot of trouble is it's a simple one, but it's cleaning your gutters. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of gutters this time of year. The leaves have started to fall. They're plugging those up. And then when those are getting plugged up, that water is backing up and then it's going over the back of the gutter onto the fascia of the house, and then you're going to eventually get where that fascia board rots out, and we're going to have a bigger inspection issue. So cleaning your gutters, that is absolutely a big one. A lot of times we just toss that in with, we've had him on the show before, Jason Klavansky, Sparkling Clean Windows. When his guys have all their ladders up there and stuff, they're on the ladders, they're cleaning the windows, they're also knocking out those gutters because they have that equipment to get it done. So that's a big one, because this time of year, what we're looking at and what we're seeing most on those inspection reports is water intrusion issues from not having gutters and that stuff cleaned up, roofing type issues where the boots around the vent pipes, that type of stuff has not been sealed properly. So we're getting water back down into those spaces. And then also in the crawl space, we don't have as much ventilation going on right now. And a lot of times people will start sealing up those crawl spaces for the winter to prevent maybe pipes from freezing or not properly insulated in the crawl space. So you're sealing that up so you no longer have the ventilation to move that moisture out from underneath the house. So it's that time of year where water's a big issue. We've seen it. It was a great reminder for me as I was soaked all week. This is the show topic that we need to talk about. We've got some great, we got three or four awesome tips that you should be considering when you're looking at getting your house ready to sell in the winter. Some documentation that you need to have prepared before we go into winter. We're going to talk about that when we come back. So after the break, documentation. We're going to look at also documentation for your loan to purchase, and also documentation for your house that you need to have ready if you're going to sell or you want to look at if you need to purchase.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. This weather's got Tom and I in the mood to talk a little bit about preparing for winter. We've talked about some tips that your house, it needs a little bit of love right now to make it through. Kind of like we pull out those turtlenecks, winter clothes and jackets. Well, the house needs a little bit of a jacket also to kind of button it up and be ready for the winter season. Buyers are more particular about looking at those items in the next couple months coming up. So talking about buyers and what they need to do and what's going on the lending side of things. Tom, how are you doing over there?
You know, I'm doing great. And I wanted to start off, I hadn't even told you this, but last week I got a call from a client who's in the process of getting a house built. They got other plans. They're on their, got their lot they already own. They got a builder picked out. And they just weren't happy with the lender they were going with for their construction loan. She called me this last week. She said, I heard you on the radio show talking about your construction loan. And you sound efficient. Came in and met with her. And we got it going full steam ahead. So
that's awesome. I love when the listeners respond like that and we're able to help them. Congratulations.
Yeah, I like that. You sounded efficient.
so I want to thank
only
her.
Not do I sound efficient, I am efficient.
I like to think so.
Yes, you are.
I want to thank her for coming in to meet with me. I really, really like our construction loan. I think it is our best product that we have that sets us apart from our competition. So I'd love to chat with you about your construction financing. But what I want to talk about today with getting ready for selling your house in the winter and coming into these colder months was just getting ready to purchase a home from a financial perspective. So when we talk about getting yourself ready to purchase, it should be no surprise that I'm going to start with your credit. And what I recommend people, if they're thinking about buying maybe 3-4 months down the road, is go online. Everybody knows they can go get a free credit report online and get your credit report pulled. This isn't going to show up as an inquiry, so it's not going to ding your credit. And make sure you get all three credit bureaus. Some creditors will only report to, say, one bureau. So if you're only pulling Experian, you may not see something that's going to TransUnion. So important to get all three credit bureaus and get a good idea of what's out there on your credit report. Now, ignore the credit scores. You can use them as a baseline, but they're not going to be accurate. Those companies that you pull these free credit reports from, they have their own credit scoring models. They're not the actual scores from the bureaus unless you pay for the report from the bureau directly. You're not going to see your exact score, but at least you'll get a baseline of what type of accounts are being reported out there. Maybe you see something like a collection that you didn't know about. Maybe it's $30, something you can get addressed really quick and get that paid off. So go out there, get a free credit report pulled, and get an idea of what's getting shown up on your credit report.
You're blowing my mind right now because I've been doing this radio show for a long time. This first time I've ever heard that.
As far as the credit scores?
Not the exact credit score.
Oh, yeah. We see it all the time.
Okay.
People will call and say, oh, yeah, I just got my free credit report online. My score's 637. And I pull it and say, well, actually, it's 609.
Well, I love learning something every day. Okay. That's an eye-opener. Okay, fantastic.
So use it as a baseline.
Yeah, good.
Another thing you could do is, let's say you're paying stuff off and you're trying to improve your credit, which I'm going to talk about here momentarily how to do that, is if you see your score from the same company online go from 610 to 640, you could expect that your score went up 30 points. But what your actual score is, you need to go straight to the bureau to get that.
Good info.
Now, main factors that affect your credit, derogatory credit events. This will be collections, bankruptcy, judgment, short sale, anything negative, maybe you missed a payment 1 month. Those are the number one thing that affects your credit. Of course, the more time that goes by from a derogatory credit event, the more time your credit is going to be able to rebound. So that's number one factor. Lance, we've talked about this next one a lot, the utilization ratio. It's the number one thing I look at when someone comes to me and says, how do I get my credit score up? Utilization ratio is the balance on your credit card in relation to the limit. So if you have a $1,000 limit and you have a balance on it of $700, you have a 70% utilization ratio, meaning you're using 70% of that limit. If you want your credit scores to go up, you pay that credit card down. Now, let's say I got someone comes in and they need to get 10 points. I see their balances on credit cards. Maybe they're up there at 80, 90% of their limit. It could be expected that you pay that down to, say, 10%. The next month, your credit scores will go up. Hard to say how much, but keeping those credit card balances as low as possible will help prepare you to get your credit as good a situation as you can so you can get the best rate possible. Because the higher your credit scores, the lower your interest rate. Another important factor on your credit is your credit mix. Now, these are having different types of accounts. So maybe you have a revolving account, like a credit card, and then you have an installment loan, like an auto loan or a boat loan or a student loan, and then you have a mortgage. That's a good credit mix. Having those various types of accounts is going to help strengthen your credit portfolio. Also, age of accounts. Maybe you just took my advice and you're going to pay down credit cards and you were thinking, okay, I'm going to close that credit card. I wouldn't necessarily do that. For two reasons. One, if you pay that all the way down, you have 0% utilization ratio, which is great. You have all this credit limit available and you're not using it. But also, maybe that credit card's been open for 8 years. That 8-year-old account is really helping your credit score. You close that account, it goes away. You've lost that factor of age of account. So if you want to pay off a credit card, pay it off. Maybe you want to not use it anymore, cut it up, throw it away, act like it doesn't exist, but just leave it open. And that'll help keep your scores up. Lastly, inquiries. If you're going to be buying a house here in the next few months, try to avoid opening any new accounts. Don't let anyone pull your credit. Because while inquiries are one of the smallest things that affects your credit score, multiple inquiries can indeed bring your score down. And there's different thresholds for interest rates. So let's say you're at a 722 credit score. You can get X interest rate, where if you drop to 719, that interest rate could go up a little bit. So you don't know exactly where you are at on your threshold. Better to just play it safe than sorry. Avoid opening new accounts and having inquiries. So some tips to improve your credit scores. Like I just said, don't open any new accounts unless you have no credit at all. Let's say you go online and you pull your free credit report and it says no scores reporting. You should probably go open a credit card, because that credit card is going to be a strong driving factor to help get you credit scores. Very important to do. But let's say you already have credit and you have a good credit mix already. New accounts can hurt you, because again, age of accounts matters. The newer the account, the lower your credit scores could be. Again, don't close existing revolving accounts. If you're paying them off, keep them open. Pay down credit cards like we just talked about. And then, again, avoid letting people pull your credit. All these things will help improve your credit score. Now, next thing, aside from credit on getting ready to purchase, is down payment. We do have some, there's a couple zero down loans out there. There's not many to choose from. But good rule of thumb is to try to get 5% down when you're ready to purchase a home. 5% gets you into a good program and really will increase your options on the different programs out there available to you. Because not one program is the right fit for everybody. So having that 5% down helps you be able to choose from multiple different programs, different ways of structuring mortgage insurance, and gives you a little bit more buying power. Also, when you come to me to get a mortgage, I'm going to get 2 months of bank statements. So let's say you have some shuffling around to do on assets to get ready for your down payment. Maybe think about doing that now, because when you come to me, get your loan, I'm going to get those 2 month statements. Any out of the ordinary deposits, we have to source and document. So there's different rules and restrictions on what's allowed, what's not allowed, what we can use, what we can't use. So just getting that done now, so that when you come to me, there's nothing on those 2 months bank statements. It will never be a question. Those funds are considered seasoned and we don't really worry about it. Better yet, if you want a personalized action plan for yourself to get ready to purchase here in the next few months, give me a call. We'll do a quick pre-approval, and I'll tell you exactly what you can do for your situation to put yourself in the best situation as possible to be ready to buy.
Tom, that's great information. And sometimes it's so simple, you feel like it gets overlooked a little bit, but you really have to get diligent and specific about what you're doing to do such a large transaction like that. Now, a lot of people, they operate their life like that all the time. It's no big deal. You come in, it's a quick appointment. Other folks, you might want to just put together a plan with Tom. Then you know you have 2 to 3 months to really get things in order. It makes a huge difference. Thanks for that information. We have a couple more tips about getting your house ready for the winter. One of the biggest things that I did not mention before the break is being able to prove winterization. Now, blowing out sprinklers is a big one. We mentioned it a couple weeks ago. You're seeing all of the signs right now. The guys are running around with the air compressors. If you are considering selling your house in the next 4 to 5 months, this year when you get the sprinklers blown out, get a receipt. Even better, if they tag your valve that it's been done and you have a receipt, we can provide that to the new buyer so that they know that's been done. Agents are going to ask for that the next couple of months. The next biggest one that people forget about a lot of times is swimming pools. And when you got the pool closed, If you didn't remember to get it, get a receipt, get pictures of that. We have to be able to provide proof of that to the new buyers.
Now, maybe these are things you do on your own regularly, but if you're going to be selling, they want to see that receipt.
Absolutely. And so even if you normally did that regularly and you still wanted to, I would highly suggest some sort of documentation of that process. Maybe you take a couple photos as you do it before you close it up. Take a couple photos of the filter and everything being drained. Just take a few extra steps to document that process this time of year. Also, a lot of times people forget, if you have an exterior faucet through a non-insulated wall, a lot of times those will have a turnoff, like inside the garage. Make sure this is the time of year where you start wanting to turn that faucet off, open it up on the outside, make sure all of that water has drained out of that pipe. See that a lot in garage walls that are not insulated on exterior walls. This is the time also to, it's about time to make sure any hoses that are connected to exterior hose bibs that you go ahead and disconnect those now. It's just that time of year where you don't want an issue with water. And that's where we really see some of the biggest issues in being ready. I was talking to my painter 2 days ago, and he said, Lance, we've really got, you know, I know we've had a lot of rain and stuff, but there'll be some moisture in the air and stuff. He goes, we've really got about 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks where I can still knock out some paint jobs before it gets really tough. After that, it gets really, really tough to do that, add those exterior paint projects. So jump on that stuff. If you're thinking about selling in the next 4 or 5 months, get some of those maintenance items done so that you're ready to go on the market. Property. We've talked about lower inventory, and we've got some great, great properties on the market. These are fantastic houses at some great prices in the range that people are really looking. Pick number one, this house is fantastic in Creekstone. So this is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath Rambler in Creekstone, 1580 square feet, lot of space and comfort. You've got a great room, beautiful gas fireplace, open kitchen. We're talking slab granite counters, full tile backsplash, stainless steel appliances, engineered hardwood floors. You got the split bedroom design, private bathroom with a dual sink vanity, large shower, walk-in closet, slider off of the great room. Just a great Creekstone house. And you're getting in there in Central Kennewick, $232,800. So, I mean, that is a price. It is hard to find anything in Creekstone for that price right now. Pick number two, same price point, just a little bit further east in Kennewick. This is right next to Canyon Lakes off of 36th. 2407 West 36th in Kennewick. This is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, great Kennewick location, almost 2,400 square feet. Gas fireplace, opens up to a formal dining room, big kitchen with an island and breakfast bar in it. You've got a great master suite with a 3-quarter bath, RV parking, fully fenced backyard. And that's coming in at $229,900. So that's one of those ones you just, you know, there's going to be offers. It's going to sell in the next couple days, likely, with those prices. So two great ones. And our third pick in Pasco, this house was just incredibly upgraded. 4604 Laredo Drive in Pasco. This is a 3-bedroom, 3-bath Rambler, 2132 square feet. You get a formal dining room, and then you get that open layout with a great room, which gives you corner gas fireplace, awesome entertaining kitchen, hickory cabinets. Then on top of those 3 bedrooms we talked about, you've got a great den off of the family room. Split bedroom design, so you get all of the privacy. Great storage shed, stick built storage shed on cement in the backyard. It's like an extra type shop space. Just fantastic, fully fenced backyard. Oversized 3-car garage that has the tandem third bay, so you're basically getting 4-car garage. Mm-hmm. or a lot of people turn that tandem bay into a workshop. Plus, you've got the exterior workshop I just talked about. This place is dialed in and $275,000. Mm. So for a very highly upgraded, great West Pasco home. So there's new inventory on the market. There's great inventory on the market. If you've been searching, you're frustrated, you haven't been able to find it, we're putting some great, great new listings on. Feel free to give me a call or go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message, and there's the market's still going to continue to move pretty quickly until the weather gets really, really cold. We've got another 2 months here, month and a half, that's going to be really, really busy. So if you want to knock this out before the end of the year, go to our website, shoot us our message. We'd be glad to help. Tom, on the pre-approval side, what's the website?
Yeah, we talked about that personalized action plan. You can start that process by going to tomcoinhomeloans.com.
And we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.